How many of you have ever tried to run away from home? When I was young, kindergarten, first grade, I gave it a try. I was already at 7 or 8 years old, upset with something going on in the world, something going on in my family. So I went out in the backyard and I grabbed a stick and I went into my room and I grabbed one of my red bandanas and I tied it to the stick just like I'd seen on TV. And I filled that bandana with all my favorite toys and I took off for the lake. It was only a couple of blocks away from my house. And my goal, of course, was to just stay there for at least a couple of days till my parents got worried about me and then I'd come home. But to make a long story, medium length, I didn't last very long because I got hungry. And so I turned around only after an hour or two and I traveled a couple blocks back to my house and I was already back in my bedroom before my mom even had known that I ran away. I wasn't very good at running away from home. I wasn't very successful at running away from home. But I'll tell you something I have been way more successful at in my life. And that's running away from God. As I look back across the landscape, there have been many different times. Maybe the most profound was when I was 18 years old. I was getting ready to head to college, and I knew that God was leading me to be a pastor and to lead and serve in His church. But instead of going to the Christian college just about 90 miles to the west of my house, I went about 9 hours north of my house in Kansas City to Chicago. And God's calling on my life and my college choice collided. Luckily, it was just a few months before I regained my senses and I got back on God's path and His leading in my life. But let me ask you something, CCV. Have you ever tried to run away from God? Have you ever had something in your life that you know God was calling you to do, but you just didn't want to do it? So you ran a different direction. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to study the book of Jonah, this guy named Jonah, the most famous runner of all time. And it's going to be an amazing study. And I want to invite you today on all of our campuses, if you have a Bible, go ahead and grab that Bible. If you have the CCV app or a program, go ahead and do that, grab that. I want you, especially if you have a Bible, to locate the book of Jonah. It's in the Old Testament of the Bible. It's located in between Obadiah and Micah. I know a lot of you are thinking, well, that was so helpful, Todd, because I was just reading Obadiah yesterday. It's not easy to find. Go ahead and use the table of contents. If you have a Bible, there's no shame in that. And let me just tell you a little bit about Jonah and the book of Jonah while we're getting going. I know some of you probably, whether you've been in church for a long time or just a little bit, the book of Jonah, the story of Jonah, it's kind of like maybe just a fable in some ways. I mean, let's put it this way. It's a hard story to swallow, right? I mean, this guy runs from God. And all of a sudden, he gets on this boat, and he finds himself thrown into the sea, and he gets inside the belly of this big fish for 3 days. I mean, did that whole deal really happen? I want you to know, just as we embark on this new study, that I personally believe in Jonah and the story of Jonah, just the way it was written in the Bible. I do. And I'll tell you a couple reasons why I believe that. The first reason I believe in Jonah is because Jesus believed in Jonah. If you want to write this down in your notes, in the New Testament of the Bible, in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus is speaking about Jonah as a real person, as a real event, as a real historical figure. Jesus believed in and referred to Jonah. And I just have this kind of motto in my life that if Jesus believes something, I believe it. I just kind of go with that. The other reason I believe in the story of Jonah is because I believe in a big God who created this entire universe. And I believe that big God can actually make a fish big enough to keep a guy alive in there for 3 days. Now, I don't know how he did it. I don't even really care to know how he did it. But I believe he could. And I think you should believe that as well. After all of you were inside your mom for 9 months. That's a pretty miraculous thing, isn't it? Not just 3 days, but 9 months. God figured out how to keep you alive and how to keep you well inside of your mom. But here's what I want us to be sure of as we get into this new series. I don't want us to get sidetracked by, was he in the belly of the fish for 3 days, or was that for real, or was that not for real? I don't want you to get sidetracked on that and miss all the great lessons for our life in the story of Jonah, because the story of Jonah really isn't just about him and a big fish. The story of Jonah, if you know anything about it, the book of Jonah is just 4 chapters long, 48 verses total, 2 pages. If the pages stick together, you'll miss the whole book. It's just not very much. But yet, just in that 48 verses, it's basically the outline for most of our lives. You see, the story of Jonah is really all of our stories. Each one of us can look back at some point in our life where we were trying to run away and resist God's will and his leading. And what many of us runners have discovered in our life, if you're taking notes, is simply this right off the bat. You can run from God, but you can't outrun God. You can certainly run from God in your life. Some of you know that because you have, or because you are right now. You can run from God, but you can't outrun God. And here's what I want us to do today. I want to read the whole first chapter of Jonah. It's only 17 verses. And then we'll go back and we'll grab some lessons out of this book and out of Jonah's life for our lives today. So let's dive in. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. 17 verses. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because of its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. Everybody say Tarshish. It's just fun to say, isn't it? Tarshish. And he went down to Joppa, where he found a ship that was headed for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed to Tarshish to flee from the Lord. And then the Lord sent a great wind to the sea. Such a violent storm arose that the ship was threatened to break. And the sailors were afraid. And each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he laid down, and what did he do? He fell into a deep sleep. And the captain went down to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he'll take notice of us and we will not perish." And then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots and find out who's responsible for this calamity." And so they cast lots and it fell on Jonah. And so they asked him, "Tell us, who's responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" And he answered, "I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of the heaven, and the God who made the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" And they knew he was running from the Lord, because he had already told them so. And the sea was getting rougher and rougher, and they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm for us?" In verse 12, look at what Jonah says, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come about you." But instead, they didn't want to do that. Instead, these sailors did their best to row back, it says, to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. And then they cried out to the Lord, "Oh, please, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing this innocent man. Oh, Lord, you have done as you pleased." And then they took Jonah, and they said, "And a one, and a two, and a..." It doesn't say that, sorry. That's not in the Bible. Don't tell your kids that. They took Jonah, and they threw him overboard, and the sea grew calm. And at this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows for him. Verse 17, "But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and nights." Pretty amazing, huh? Let's ask God's blessing over this. God, thank you for this story. Thank you for Jonah. God, I pray for the next few moments, you would let us have great wisdom into these verses. God, let us hear this with fresh ears. Let us see things with new eyes, things that we've never seen before in this story that many of us have heard for years. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's the first thing I want us to see from the life of Jonah that we can also see in our life when we start to get away from God, and that is this, that we run to odd and unsafe places. Odd and unsafe places. Let me kind of give the geography here. Jonah is standing on the Mediterranean Sea. He's standing near Joppa. And that's like modern-day Tel Aviv, Israel. In fact, just about 6 or 7 weeks ago, I was standing on this very same stretch of ocean in Joppa. I took this picture of our residence. I was there with our residents visiting the Holy Land. This is the Mediterranean Sea right near Joppa. This is where Jonah would have been standing. And what God was asking him to do from this shore is he was asking him to go to this place called Nineveh. Now, let's look at Nineveh on the map. Jonah is right down here in Joppa, and Nineveh is about 500 miles north and east of where Jonah's at. It would be modern-day Iraq is where that would be. And Jonah is being called to go there. Now, Nineveh is the capital of the Assyrian people, and the Assyrian nation is one of the most powerful nations in the world at that point, and Nineveh is one of the biggest cities. Some Bible scholars would say 600,000 to maybe even 1 million people lived there. It was huge. And these people in Assyria, they were the arch enemy of Jonah and his people in Israel. And these were a vicious, vicious people up there in Nineveh. And I have a whole bunch of things written down in my notes that I could share with you about them, but let me just share one thing about the Assyrian people. And that is, they had become experts at capturing people and skinning them. They would skin people. They would fillet people. That's one of the things they were so feared for. They had become experts at that. And there's all kinds of crazy things about them. And so Jonah would have grown up as a young man hearing all of these stories about these Assyrians and these people in Nineveh. And then God is asking him to go there. And Jonah doesn't really want to. Jonah and all of his people are praying that God would destroy Nineveh, just like he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And so what I basically want us to start out with today and what I want us to see today is that we shouldn't be hating on Jonah for not wanting to go there. The way God viewed Nineveh and the way Jonah viewed Nineveh were very, very different. And Jonah did what we do a lot of times. When we see something differently than what God does, a lot of times we run the other direction, right? And that's what Jonah did. Let's go back to the map again. Jonah's in Joppa. God is calling him to go to Nineveh. But he doesn't do that. He gets on a boat. Remember, we just read it. And he goes to this place called Tarshish. Tarshish is, in Jonah's day and age, like the furthest point in the world you could go. It's the edge of Spain. Some Bible scholars would say it would take months and months, maybe up to a year to get there on an old boat. I mean, the boat, understand that Jonah got on was not like a Carnival cruise line, right? He wasn't hitting golf balls off the back in the morning, having a buffet lunch, catching a show in the evening. No, this was an awful, terrible, long, hazardous trip across the ocean all the way over here to the tip of Spain. And what I want you to see about Jonah is that he didn't just say, no, God, I'm not going to go to Nineveh and stay put. He actually ran 2,000 miles in the opposite direction. And basically what Jonah did is this. I want you to see this. Jonah basically said, God, I still believe in you, but I'm not going to do what you're asking me to do. You ever been there? God, I still believe in you. I'll still go to church, God, but I'm not going to do that. God, I still definitely believe in you, and I'll pray, and I'll read my Bible, but I'm not going to do that. God, I will still talk to people about you, but what you're asking me to do is going to be too costly in my finances or in my career or in my friendships or something like that. And so a lot of times what we do in our lives is the same thing that Jonah did, is we decide to run away from God, and we run to some odd and some unsafe places, don't we? As I'm reading through the first chapter of Jonah the last few weeks, I keep thinking to myself, Jonah, if you're going to run, don't get on a boat. I mean, why would you get on a boat? That seems incredibly dangerous. Keep some ground, keep some earth beneath your feet. Run to someplace safe if you're going to run. But what I've discovered in my life as a pastor, talking to people for years and years and years, what I've discovered in my life as a runner is that a lot of times when we decide to run away from God, we run to some unsafe places, and later on we look back and we say to ourselves, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? And isn't it true for you? You just answer this in your mind. Isn't it true for you that some of your biggest regrets in your life have come from a season of running, trying to get away from God? A lot of times when we start to run away from God, the people in our lives who love us, they look at our decisions, they look at our actions, and they say, you're dating him. You're going to marry her. You're going to move where? You bought what? And they say all these kinds of things to us. When you and me and Jonah decide to run from God, we run to some of the oddest and most unsafe places. And when that happens, you know what else happens to runners? Here's a second thing we can learn from the life of Jonah, and that is life just begins to unravel. Life begins to unravel, not always immediately. It doesn't always unravel immediately, but eventually, life just kind of begins to fall apart. And there are at least three things, as I'm studying through Jonah, that I see that happen in his life. And they're kind of progressive. They're kind of sequential. I want you to write these down in your notes, and I want you to see if any of these apply to your life as well. Just kind of do a diagnostic on these. First of all, when our life begins to unravel, we start to run from God. Here's the first thing that happens. We stop hearing God's voice. We stop hearing God's voice. If you still have your Bible there, you still have the CCV app or something like that, and you look at Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, you realize that it says, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah. In chapter 1, verse 1, it's the word of the Lord, because Jonah is still listening to him. But if you get down just a little bit further in verse 5, go down just a little ways further into verse 5, you see that it's not the word of God anymore because Jonah's not listening. Now it's the works of God in verse 5. It's the wind, and it's the thunder, and it's the waves, and it's the rain. It's the works of God. Let me ask you something, CCV, and don't answer this out loud, okay? Don't stand up and say amen, okay? Do you ever kind of just feel like this world is against you? Do you ever just kind of feel like nature is against you? Guess what? It might be. It might be, based on what we can learn here from Jonah. It very well could be. It could be this. It could be that you have hardened your heart toward the words of God, and now God is using his works rather than his words to get your attention. You ever feel like that's happened in your life? Where maybe I'm not listening to him the way I should, and so there's all these kinds of things going on with different things in my life, and it's maybe not a boat, but it's a car, or something like that, or another person, or just something you just feel like this, your job, or people around you, this world is kind of against you. I tell you this, when we stop hearing God's words in our life, God tries to get our attention in other ways. And let me tell you something else that happens. This is the second thing kind of in this progression. We start to confuse opportunity with God's blessing. We start to confuse opportunity in our lives with God's blessing in our lives. And here's what I want to try and do. Just really, you got to stay with me really close here, because I'm going to try and unpack something right now that as soon as I start to say this, it's going to sound wrong. What I'm getting ready to share with you is going to be something you're going to want to push back on, probably because it goes against the way many of us were raised, myself included. Here's what I want to say to you. Favorable circumstances do not always equal God's will. Favorable circumstances in your life do not always equal God's will in your life or God's blessing in your life. Maybe here's another way to say it. We'll put it up on screen. There will always be a ship in the harbor willing to take you in the wrong direction. There will always be a ship in the harbor willing and ready to take you in the wrong direction, friends. Think again about the life of Jonah. This is a prophet of God. This is a leader of God. This guy is close to God, but yet he is running away from him. He's running away from God, but yet he goes down to the port, and guess what? There just happens to be a boat. Coincidentally, maybe God's providing that boat, right? Just happens to be a boat. And guess what? Jonah has the money to pay the fare. This is going to be a long boat ride. This is a whole lot of money he would have had to pay to get on this boat all the way to Tarshish. He has the money. God has provided and blessed him with the money. Maybe that's what he wants him to use it for. And then, by the way, when he gets on the boat and he's traveling away from God, he's down beneath, you know, in the bottom of the boat, sleeping like a baby. He's sleeping like a baby, even though he's running away from God. And I've had people tell me before in my life, you know what, Todd? If God is in it, or if the Holy Spirit is in it, it just flows. You ever heard that? If God is in it, he'll just smooth it out. And if the Holy Spirit is in it, then it just flows. It won't be too hard. And you know what? Often that is true. But I'm not sure that it's always true. And this is what I want all of us on all of our CCV campuses just to be aware of and grow in. You can actually be running away from God and yet still feel like, at least for a while, not always, but at least for a while, feel like things are just going good and clicking in life. And maybe right now you're thinking, I wish you hadn't told me that. I mean, how do I know, Todd? How do I know if right now, if I feel like things are kind of good and grooving, if I feel like things are kind of flowing in my life and family, how do I know if I'm in God's will and God's plan for my life, or if I'm running away from him, how do I know if I've hardened my heart to God's words, Todd? How do I know if I'm mistaking opportunity for God's blessing? How do I know that? Here's the third part of the progression. I'd tell you, just look around you. One of the best ways to tell of what God's really doing in your life is to look around you. Look at the people who are around you in your life. And here's the third thing I want you to know. If you're running away from God, we will always hurt those who are close to us. We will always hurt those who are close to us. We start not hearing God's voice anymore, and he starts to try and get our attention in other ways. And we start to mistake opportunities because, hey, they're there, and I had the money for actually the leading of God in our lives. And when that happens, we will always hurt those around us. When someone is running from God, people who are around them will always be adversely impacted. I mean, think about the life of Jonah again, chapter 1 that we've just read. These sailors who were with Jonah, they were on the ship, their lives were dramatically impacted, weren't they? I mean, these guys have to take all the cargo. In verse 5, they're throwing all of the cargo out into the ocean. And that's the whole reason they're making the trek, right? Is to get this cargo somewhere. So now when they get to the port, they're not going to have anything to sell, which means they're not going to be able to make any money. They're going to lose money, which means now probably these guys are going to lose their jobs because they have no cargo and they don't have any money to show for it. But right now, they don't even really care about all that stuff because they're getting ready to die. They're getting ready to lose their lives. And listen, guys, all they did, this is such a huge learning. All these sailors did, here's all they were guilty of. They let this guy who was running from God get on their boat. That's it. And it took them all into this dangerous place. Let me break this down for us so we can all just have some time to apply this to our lives. Men, let me talk to you men on all of our campuses. When you decide to run from God, when you decide to resist God's will, when you try and hide things in your life from God, guess what? Your wife and your kids will be adversely affected by your choices. They just will. And you can pray for God to protect your kids and your wife, and likely he will, but they will still have this season of where they're hurt by the choices that you're making in your life. And ladies, moms, wives, it goes the same for you. What about those of you who are single? Singles, let me talk to you for a minute. Do you know why some of your friends seem to overreact sometimes and get so upset when you start to date certain people? Do you know why that is? It's because your friends can see things maybe that you can't see. Maybe your heart is pure and your motives are really pure, but your friends can see that this guy or this girl is actually running from God. They can see that evidence that this person is resisting God or running from God, and they know that if you hook up too close with this person who is running from God, you are going to be hurt. You're going to be hurt when you get too close, singles, to somebody who is running from God. Teenagers, students on all of our campuses, do you know why your parents kind of freak out when you begin to hang out with a certain group of friends? It's because your parents know that if you run with people who are running from God, there's going to be trouble in your life. That's what they know. And that's what they're trying to protect you from. Teenagers, they know that if you run from people who are running from God, there's going to be trouble in your life, and most likely there's also going to be trouble within your family. CCV, when we start to run from God, life ultimately begins to unravel, and we stop hearing God's voice, and we begin to mistake and confuse opportunity with God's blessing in our lives, and we always hurt those who are close to us. But here's the deal. That's not the whole story, right? Thank God in heaven. Truly. Thank God. That's not the whole story of Jonah or our lives. It's not actually all bad news for runners. Here's the good news of the story of Jonah, and the good news of the story of you, and the good news of the story of me. And that is, when we decide to run, God doesn't just set up in heaven and fold his arms and say, okay, off you go. Have a good run. See ya half past never. He doesn't do that. What we discover in the story of Jonah is that God, in his epic grace and his mercy, actually gets involved in the little details of our lives, and he does whatever it takes to bring us back to him. CCV, do you know why God provided the storm? Do you know why God had that fish that Jonah was in for days? Even closer to home, do you know why God allows those crazy circumstances in your life? Do you know why God will sometimes mess with your finances? You know why God will sometimes mess with your career? You know why God will sometimes mess with your health? That leads us to our third understanding and lesson today, and that is this: that God gets involved in our lives not to pay us back, but to bring us back. When God gets involved in your life, it's not to pay you back, it's to bring you back. Honestly, I don't know where each of you are at in your life right now, this week. I don't know if you'll even believe what I'm getting ready to say to you. Because some of you may be in a pretty stormy season. But I just feel like I need to say this to you. God loves you. God loves you so much that he has chosen to get involved in the intimate little details of your life, to do whatever it takes to bring you back. You see, God's goal is never to pay you back. It's always to bring you back to him. And let me tell you something else about when we run from God. This is so important to understand, and we're going to pull this all together here right in these next few minutes. Something else that happens when we run. He doesn't try and pay us back. He wants to bring us back. But here's another thing I want you to write down in your notes, and that is this, that God doesn't really chase you. He goes ahead and waits for you. When you and I decide to run from God, he doesn't so much chase after you. He goes ahead and waits for you. Because here's another little secret about God. He already knows where you're going to run. He already knows where you're going. And so he just goes there. He says, okay, go. And he goes ahead and he waits where he knows you will be. And here's what's crazy. For some of you, you've been running from God for months. You've been running from God for years. Some of you, this is the truth, you know it. You're in church, but you've been running from God for decades. And what's unbelievable for me today to kind of get through my mind is that today you and God have collided. Right in one place, right in one room. And it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what campus you're on, if you're in Anthem or East Valley or Scottsdale or Avondale or Peoria or Surprise. It doesn't matter which one of these campuses and which one of these rooms you're sitting in. Guess what? God knew that you would be there. God knew you would be here. God knew I would be preaching today. He knew we would be talking about Jonah. So you know what he did? He went ahead and he just started waiting for you. Right in the place you're sitting. And what I will hope you would discover today as we just sneak into this book of Jonah is that though you can run from God, there's no way to outrun God. Because he always knows where you're going to be, where you're going to end up. And here's the takeaway. Here's what I want you to consider today. Here's the takeaway. What is one area of life where you are running from God? Just I want you to write that down in your notes, in your program, or write that down on your smartphone or your tablet, or write that right by the story of Jonah in your Bible. What is one area in your life where you're running from God? God, I still believe in you, but I'm going to keep my friends my friends. God, I still believe in you, but I'm going to keep my finances. That's an area of life I control. I'm not going to give that. What's an area of your life that you are resisting God? An area of your life that you're hiding from God? Here's my prayer for you. Would you allow this to be the day, the first weekend of June 2015, to be the time you look back on and say, that's the weekend I stopped running from God? And use this series of Jonah for the next several weeks as a catalyst to stop your running. Next week, we're going to dive into chapter 2. And I'm going to lead us through that. And Jonah is in the belly of a fish. The whole chapter is in the belly of a fish. And we're going to see what God does when we stop running, when we surrender to him. We're going to see God's epic grace for us in our lives. Let's pray together. God, thank you for today. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the story of Jonah that's been preserved for us for thousands of years now. God, I pray that you would have given us fresh ears and fresh eyes to see things that maybe we've never seen before in this story. God, I pray that you would illuminate in our lives areas that we're trying to resist you or hide. And God, I pray that we would surrender to you and use this series and this study in Jonah to be a time where we draw close and begin to run with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.